Welcome to Boardroom to Alter. I'm Carrie Smedley. I'm your host today. This is a brand new podcast. This is actually episode 2. And I have a beautiful guest in the studio with me today, a dear friend, somebody who's tried and true, somebody that I love to just not only share about, but I love today that we get to share her heart with you, because you're going to absolutely fall in love with Noemi, Dr. Noemi Oliver. She's not only a pastor, she's a leader. She's just recently launched a course called P31 Proverbs Woman course. And she's going to be talking to you a little bit about that. But she's also a co-pastor with her husband, Dr. Bishop Gary Oliver. And she's got her hands full. She's got a full plate, but yet she finds the time to literally not just live it out in a ritual, but she literally is the Proverbs 31 woman. And so I think the course is perfect for her. We're going to be talking about that today, and her book, and just many things in her background, her financing and her accounting background. And she's got so much that she can offer women in terms of leadership. So I just want to welcome Dr. Noemi to the studio. Welcome.
Thank you, Karen, my dear sister. I'm so excited to be on this podcast with you and just sharing what the Lord is doing in our life. Yes, I am a co-pastor with my husband, Bishop Gary Oliver, also a psychologist. I am a biblical coach and a mentor coach. I do have a background in finance. That's really what I did for business. It's not who I am. I am a daughter of the High Most King, and purpose is what drives me, and also helping other women walk into purpose. So thank you for having me.
Noemi, when I catch up with you about your life, it seems like you're always doing something in the area of serving others, leading others, helping others. So share with us a little bit about how did Proverbs 31, not only the course, but you also wrote a book. Share with us a little bit about the genesis of that and how you started that.
Yes, you know, and in anything, like for me, it was a personal journey of knowing who your identity is. And we sometimes end up in the trap of finding identity in our work, as a mother, as a sister, as a daughter, as a wife. And then when things just doesn't, you know, life happens, and sometimes we take that as ourselves, our inner self versus in our identity, versus this, you know, feeling disconnected from the source, which is God. God created us as women to lead, to be purposeful, to use in His kingdom. But when we identify falsely in the wrong thing, we feel like we're let down. And so it was a book that was in my heart for a while, and I put it on the shelf. But I had gotten a prophecy that I would write books and how to's. And that the Lord would just, all I had to do is pick up the pen and the Lord would speak through me. And I said, okay, the Lord has already put some books in my heart. And in fact, there's several that are already on the shelf, ready, waiting to be just edited. But the very first one was Finding Who You Are. So I wrote the book called Mirror, Mirror, Off the Wall. Don't look at the mirror to tell you who you are, to know it inward, in your body, in your being, that God created you and reminding you of who you are. And so in the book, I talk about personal stories, and I talk about different ways to go back and search for that person that God created, not with your history, but who God told you to be. And so then with writing the book, then we had the conference, but I had already spoken to someone else, and I said, you know, I really feel that Proverbs 31, the woman that is written in the Bible, is not that unattainable. But we make it as it's a checklist for performance versus being. And I said, you know, I really would like to use that and bring in the psychology, bring in the word, bring in the psychology and how to live it out and provide examples. Because if we're not strong enough mentally, we will falter. And if we don't use our purpose of knowing who we are through Him and in Him, then we will always be disappointed. And so that's what spurred out the Proverbs 31, because 31 to me, kind of, I don't know if you remember, Karen, when there was this big P90, the exercise where you had to be committed, intentional to do it. And I thought, you know, to be a Proverbs 31, you've got to be intentional. You get to be exercising, be aware, working it out. It's not just one time reading and one time exercise and expecting results. And so that's what gave me the idea of putting the P31 Proverbs Woman course to be able to help ladies remind them of who God called them to be.
I love that. And I've loved your course and just going through it and getting the chance to take a sneak peek behind the scenes at it. But you know what? It's really stood out. And I believe that you share this, you know, throughout your material. And certainly it is the value that's driven is you're not saying it's about perfection. It's not perfecting, coming to some perfect standard that God is expecting, but it's about really finding your purpose, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. It's about knowing who you are inward. And it's not the performance trap gets us. It takes us out all the time because we're working to do things to perform and you can never achieve it. But isn't it beautiful to know that with God, none of that matters? He just wants your heart. And it's an inward practice to know and be rooted on who you are. But if we rely on outside circumstances to define us, to tell us who we are, to tell us our worth, or even we fall in the trap of allowing people to tell us.
Yes.
What our worth is, you know, whether past relationships or friendships, and it's so we allow other broken people try to tell us who we are when the originator already has told us who we are. He anointed us from the moment we were born, but we lose sight of that because of life and because of things that come at us that we don't know how to really identify it. And if we focus on it, we fall, we falter, we're human. And so I bring in the psychology on how to think different. Your thoughts are very important. And it's important to know, to think about who you really are rooted in and with versus what other people have put on you or the labels that we put on ourselves, truth be told.
Absolutely. And you know, and that brings me actually to a question I really want to ask you about this because I see just what you just said. I see this trap, you know, for women. And certainly when I was younger, fell in those traps myself. And then through knowing who I am in God, that's what gave me the rest. I was able to rest no matter what was happening around me, no matter what other people were doing or what I was doing or not, whether I'm in waiting, preparing in secret or, you know, in that secret assignment underground, so to speak, you know, there was that rest, there's a rest in God. And I have that today in my life where I can just rest. If it's not my assignment, I'm okay to rest. I can just watch others be excellent at what God's called them to do and celebrate that, which I love. But how do you think that women can tell between the pressure, that tension that can come between that performance that, you know, especially, and I see this with younger women that aren't in that place of rest in their soul where the Holy Spirit hasn't developed that really deeply in them where they're rooted, where then I see them striving to do, yet I know they're called. But I see that striving part and it's really glaring, right? So how do you go from that place of the pressure to the purpose and the rest?
Right. It's so important to understand the difference because when we are as a society, we have become accustomed to perform to give us value. If I make so much money, then I will be seen successful. Or if I marry so-and-so with a certain appearance, then I may look that I am worthy. We put the value on the wrong things to validate us versus allowing for the Lord to validate us. The rest comes when you know in your heart, in your being, that you're not doing it for the performance of men. That if the only thing you want and the only words you want to hear, well done, daughter, job well done. That's all you want to hear. And so when that is so liberating, when you rest on that and the peace of the Lord that comes with you, that just comes, that just surpasses any understanding, you know, you don't have to worry about what so-and-so thinks about or what are they going to think or what they're going to believe. It just is God proud of me. You know, and even in writing the course, I'll tell you, it may not be something, I didn't do it to be a bestseller or to, so people can know it. I did it because I was obedient to what God asked me to do. And when you're obedient, He blesses what you do. And it's because He knows, and the Holy Spirit nudged me. It's like, you've gone through this, other women are going through this too. So let's help them. How did I help you? Then with your expertise and in the rooms that I put you in, I need you to be a vessel to pass this on to my daughters, to remind them that I've called them and not other people. And so there was this liberating thing that just came over me that when the book was done and the course was completed, I said, Lord, it's your project. You will put it in the right hands. I'm not looking for the performance or the approval of other people. It is just him. And so just resting on him is what allows you to know, are you doing it? Because we're going to be disappointed every time. People will disappoint us, and we're looking for validation in the wrong place when we look onto people. But when we look onto him, he's faithful. He supports you. He walks you through it. There's just that peace that comes inward.
Yes. And you know what? I love what you're teaching through this course. And I believe that is your, you know, your life value of teaching is Proverbs 23:7 talks about as a person or as a man, it says, and a woman thinks in their hearts. So are they. And so when you really peel that away, you know, it gets to what you're saying. When you know who you are, that's going to control your thinking. That's going to lift you up into the place you're called to be versus undermining the place you're called to be in the assignment. You're going to be able to rest and know God's voice, walk in his voice, instead of wondering and hoping and thinking, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do, or, you know, or jumping into things you're not called to be doing. But so tell me a little bit about, you're one of my dear friends, and I love always when we talk and catch up just as friends, you're somebody that I always feel inspired with. And, you know, and I can honestly say that that's a small group of people in my life that really, I just go, wow, when I get around them, I feel inspired. You're one of those people. But what do you do? And I mean, I could probably say it from the things you've shared today, but what do you do to keep your mindset? Because we also know that, you know, we're sowing our lives. You're sowing your life as a pastor, as a leader. And that doesn't, you don't always see that instant return. There's a watering, there's a planting, you know. So how do you keep a mindset that keeps you in that place where you stay encouraged, stay in a place of rest, and you're not, and it keeps your mindset going forward?
You know, it's important that we are anchored in him. And so every morning, and you said it perfectly, what we focus is what we continue to do. And if we, the beginning for me, it's my rest with the Lord, thanking him, asking him for guidance. Who do you want me to connect with today? What is it that, who am I going to partake to that you want to speak through? I always look for the opportunities to speak and to know, and what can I learn in this season? You know, I look at things, and it's the positive versus negative mindset. Positive mindset will always look for the good in everything. Even in the midst of chaos, what can I learn? How can I get sharpened? A negative mind looks at it, oh, see, I'm not worthy. It's coming to me again. See, this goes back to what, when I was 6 years old and somebody told me that I was just not behaving correctly. You know, we turn into this inner child that really disconnects us from who we really are. But when we think positive, we actually, there is, when you're thinking positive, you relax, you engage the heart, the mind. And when your heart is engaged, you can't go wrong, because we know that God is love. So you're coming from a place of love. When you're in a negative place, you're coming from chaos, fight or flight. Your thoughts are taking you in the wrong place. And we know that in the time of negativity, the body releases cortisol, which is a stressful hormone that puts our immune system into suppression, into this is where we get all these diseases. So it's important that not only for your physical well-being, but your mental well-being and spiritually, that we're creatures, we're humans to be positive and pour into others. And when the negative things do come up, it's how to reframe it and ground it on the word. Because we know that the lies come from the enemy. The lies come to put division and bring doubt. And when you know, okay, that thought comes up, or that one, you know, instance that tries to tell us that that's who we are, we know how to nip it and correct it and root it back to the Lord. And that's what we teach in the course. We teach how to have emotional intelligence to sharpen our thoughts, because as we think, we become. Yes, it's so important. It starts with our thinking, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if we're thinking that means that's in the heart. So we've got to get it to a heart level to, again, remind us who we are in him. And so for me, as like you said, your friends matter. Are they pouring life into you, or they're spewing negativity? Because if they're spewing negativity, I can tell you they're not going to be around. And I have released friends, because you've got to have boundaries.
Yes.
You got to know who are there to pour into you, to flourish, because you're as connected. You can be a magnet. I use that as an example with the ladies. Magnets attract or they become opposites. You can only be attracted to who you are. So if you're a person that's positive, you will be attracted to positive people and the Lord will send you people. And if you are just spewing negativity and gossip and hate and talking about other women, you're going to find your circle. You will find it. It's just you find your agreement partners. Yes. But you want women that will love you, that will hold you accountable, that will pour into you, and that are going to be able to expand you to a place of the greater you who they see and who God shows them to be. Which is what happens, you know, iron sharpens iron.
Yes, yes.
So friends are essential and they're important.
They are essential. They are important. And so many times when you and I've gotten together, I mean, we just feel it is that iron sharpening iron, you know, that deep calling to deep. So how can a woman that maybe she says, you know, if she is to do kind of a little bit of a self-awareness checkup, and I think it's okay to say, hey, I don't know what my assignment is. I'm asking God what my assignment is. Maybe there's a woman out there today and she's saying, Lord, where do I start? Is this a course for me? Is this something you're leading me to get involved with? How would you tell her to go about getting started?
You know, I think it's important because many women, I remember even I struggling, what is my purpose? The reason we look for that awareness is because somehow, somewhere along, we disconnected from our true self. We disconnected from who we are and who God called us to be. Because trauma or divorce or loss of a job or loss of a child tells us, so for some reason, we made it a meaning or a perception we're not worthy. And that already disconnects us from self. A person that wants to know their purpose is reconnected to know who they are, not by our definition, but by his definition, who he called us to be. When you start connecting to who, back to who he called you to be, purpose is going to be revealed because we are humans that are made in the image of God. God is a creator.
Yes.
And that means that we're creators. We're meant to flourish. And with creativity, there's purpose. There's something that ignites in our heart that says, I want to do this. I want to give out. We are creative human beings. But when we disconnect from self, we feel helpless. We don't know what we're supposed to do. So what I would say, I would encourage them that it is the number one awareness is key, that they want to.
Yes.
Because so there are people that are comfortable with their lives and they just want to be left alone. This is the way I am and this is the way I've always been, meaning that they're identifying themselves to something that suits them, that fits them. But when someone says, I want to know my purpose, that right there is a key awareness that they want more out of life. They want to know, they want a reminder of who God called them to be. And we're meant to be creators. So that means that, you know what? It's getting a relationship with the Lord, connecting to who you are with the Lord, because the Lord will the vase that broke, when it's healed, it's put back together with gold, that's God putting us back to who we're supposed to be. In such a beautiful way, even in our brokenness.
Absolutely. And even with all the training in the world, I came out of world-class companies. In fact, I was just sharing with Tom last night, we were talking, there's a report from the industry I came out of, and it's got the top 15 companies, and the three of them I work for, and they all are either the top first company or the top fifth company or the top, you know, 10th company. But even with all the training that the world has to offer, with some of the brightest minds and the brightest trainings and framework, it doesn't replace, it cannot even measure what our creator, our Lord, can give us, because he made us in our mother's wombs. He knew us before we were ever formed, right? And so he's able to, he packs that personality and the talent and the ability and his anointing and his strength, and we can do far more with him.
That's right. That's
following
right.
him and obeying him and surrender. And I say it's surrendering. I think the first place for me to really get in touch, not only with a greater relationship with the Lord, that was my daily and still is my daily go-to, and I cannot survive without it, was surrender. Was surrendering to God, saying, okay, not my way, but your way, not my plan. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, surrender is the fundamental key for him to be able to pour into us. You can't pour into something or someone that already feels
That's
like
right.
they already know it all.
That's right.
There's nothing. You can't pour in no matter how much you want to. They want to change, but if they feel that they already know it all, forget it. That's how God sees us. If you are not humble, if you're not, he says, in your weakness, in your surrendering, he becomes stronger. But our ego wants to protect us from being hurt.
Yes.
And so when ego is on the surface level, we don't allow God to enter into our lives and into our heart. And so it's having the key of having the relationship with the Lord. And yes, surrender is crucial to know, because God wants to use people that their hearts are surrendered, that they have a yes in their heart. Those are the ones that he used when we look at scripture.
Yeah.
Those that surrender through him. You know, and that's how we want to turn back. It's turn back to who we are meant to be, creatures of humans to praise him.
Well, and I think that that's why Paul said what he said when he said, I love this, the verse when he said, you know, I count all of the past accolades, my training, all this expertise I had. And he said, I was the scribe of scribes. I was a Pharisee of all Pharisees. He said, I knew the law better than anyone. He says, but I count it all as basically nothing. I love the other part. He said, I have to decrease so he can increase. And that really is the nutshell of surrender. Is it's not that we don't, you know, God doesn't want to use, you know, your beautiful personality or different ones and the talent he's put in them, but it has to be a surrendered personality, a surrendered temperament, a surrendered heart, because we're spirit, and where he is speaking through his spirit to our spirit. And that's where the life is. That's where he is speaking in life. And that's where the life in the assignment's going to be too, where he's made that assignment just fit for you. Because everything you do, I go, oh, that's just fit for her. That's fit for her. That's fit for their church. That's fit for them. But I don't necessarily felt compelled to try to duplicate that. I want to follow, right? I want to participate. I want to glean from, I want to learn from, but I don't feel like, oh, I've got to go do that. That's like the worldly competition, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, no, where we're meant to be, sisters that encourage each other. It's not about, when you're in competition, you look at lack. You look at comparison, and that's a trap of the enemy. When you're there because of your purpose, we have our own purpose, we have our own anointing, and we're supposed to walk in our own lane. When I'm focused on somebody else's lane, it takes me out, and I'm no longer able to hear what God wants me to do. And see, it is about celebrating where your sister is, not taken away. It's not taken away from you. You've got your own talents, but because someone is not rooted on who they are, what do? They focus on what everybody else is doing. We fall into that automatically, because when we're not strong enough to see what God has called us to be, we will always be in the comparison game and unconsciously the jealousy game. Oh, that's serious and that's dangerous, you know? And then we don't know. And because that puts us in a loophole of negativity, then we no longer engage the creative side that God put us, they already anointed us with. So it's about celebrating who you are and knowing what God called you to be, and celebrate others, encourage them, be part of the journey, be part of that, the love and the intention of knowing to celebrate. And it doesn't, me celebrating you doesn't take away from me. It just builds and it builds. And if more women got a hold of that, we would be a lot stronger. But sometimes our weakness is that, yeah, instead of celebrating somebody, then we go to criticism. Criticism or opinions is another form of criticism, but based on your lens, because that's not what God called you to be. So how can I expect for someone else's opinion when that wasn't what God, that might have been something God called you, but this is what God told me, and I'm going to be obedient to what God says. And emotional intelligence says it doesn't matter what they're doing and what they're saying. You're still on the course. You're still moving one step at a time, one foot forward, allowing for the Lord to order your steps as he tells you what to do. And so it's important for us to be strong enough in that sense. And those that do give opinions are women, unfortunately, that don't carry weight. They don't carry the fruit, because when you carry fruit, you've gone through the pressure, you've gone through the anointing, you've gone through the forging that God has wanted you to be. You become stronger. It's easy to criticize that. I say that's a lazy spirit, to criticize, because they haven't gone through the weight. women who celebrate others is because they've gone through some pressure and they understand the pressure. And so instead of criticizing, they applaud another woman. They celebrate another woman. And so we're called to be women of God that celebrate our sisters in whatever project that they're walking, because God, they followed what God asked them to do.
Yes. Thank you for helping me keep it real, because this is something I actually been wanting to talk about, and we won't have a lot longer because we've just got a couple of minutes left. But when I came out of the corporate world and the church is just the same, in fact, maybe even worse at times, I found more, you know, leadership, people willing to share, you know, network, you know, share some things and say, here, let me help you. And then I saw in the church, I was like, oh, this should not be, this should not be, this is not the fruit of Christ. This is not the fruits of the Spirit. But, and I agree with what you said, me helping someone else, me sharing things God's given me doesn't take from me. Me giving to you in your place of need doesn't take from me. And again, I just love what you're sharing today, because I really feel like as women of God, if we want to be, you know, the adults in the room, and we really want to grow in the Spirit, we want to grow with God, then we've got to grow in the fruits of the Spirit. And that starts with the surrender. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, absolutely. It's important for us to know someone who celebrates is someone that is strong, emotionally secure, someone that criticizes, someone that's still their younger self, their disconnect from the Lord. And it's rooted on insecurity.
Yes. Yes.
And so, yeah, you know, I always take a look and I tell everybody what they say and what they do have got to match. They've got to match.
Tom and I live by this one, and we say it all the time, because Tom asked me, what do you think about this situation? I say, Tom, I know what I'm hearing, but I know what I'm seeing. So the scene's got to match up with what you're hearing at the same time. And I think, you know, it's true. It's not a bad thing if someone recognizes, hey, they are insecure. We've all fought insecurity or unbelief or fear or different things. But again, going back to what you said, you know, when we allow God to give us our identity, who we really are, and we allow him to give us the rest in that, not striving for it, knowing only he can bring it to pass. Only he's the one that's going to cause us to really stand, right? And he's the one that affirms his work in me, not my work, his work. Otherwise it's works, right? Then I can rest in it no matter what's happening. And I don't need to tear somebody else down to lift up. You can lift up. And at the same time, that's going to lift up the whole body. That's going to lift up the whole, work or whatever it is that, adventure or project that women are involved in. So just in closing, Dr. Naomi, give us just helping that lady to connect today. How can she connect with you if she wants to hear more about your course?
Absolutely. They can visit the website. It's drnoemixoliver.org. And we have a ministry called Echoes of Faith, which is really for women to know who they are, identified with the way that God has asked them to be identified, not the world and not ourselves or other people. And we have different trainings. I've got the book listed on the website. I've got the course listed on the website as well. And right now we're doing, my church, we're doing the training. It's a 6-week course that where not only do we teach it, but we help them walk it out by doing exercises. And so we're on week one. We're already walking into week two. And it's exciting. You can see the excitement. You can see the layers being peeled out and the aha moments that are happening in the room. I just look back and I'd look at the beauty of what God is doing in the women. And that just, it just humbles me. You know, it humbles me to see the seeds that are being sown, because legacy is the word that he gave me. Legacy is changing, and it's knowing from the right root of who God called them to be.
Amen. Amen. And I love it that you're lifting women up and you're causing them to rise in their God calling. But I believe that real, true, God ordained kingdom leadership does lovingly provoke people, lovingly challenges people, leads the way. And I believe that there is an impartation that happens with that is exponential, that grows in people and that grows in that organization or in that endeavor. And that's exactly what you're doing. And so I'm so excited to be a part of it in the sense of sharing with others today how they can connect with it. I'm looking forward to following along myself, because you've got encouraging tips that come out every day for women. So even if they're women on the go, you've got an app for them that they can just check in with you at all times, right?
Yes. And we have what we call a community group. where they can come in and give their aha moments as they go through the course. What is it that they're challenging with? What is it that they learned this week? And in there, I continue to add additional slides to encourage them and really break it down. But, you know, it's one of these, this is about intentionality. It's how you say you want change, but how committed are you for that, into that change? And so it's giving them that opportunity to really do the work. And then we come in together and now we walk it out.
And it can always be a lot easier when you have a group of ladies with you.
That's right.
So I just want to share with the audience today that might be listening, and whether you're listening or actually watching this podcast on Board Room to Alter, please check out Dr. Noemi's course. You're going to love it. I believe you're going to be uplifted by it. Check out her book too. Get the whole bundle. It's going to be worth the investment of your life. In fact, I wanted to leave on this note, Dr. Noemi, you were sharing something about self-destruction. And I recently have been taking some voice lessons, not for podcasting, but for singing. And it's a little secret I've kept for a long time and not shared with anybody outside of, I sang at my son's wedding. That was where I got started. And I hadn't did this publicly for many, many years. But one thing, my beautiful coach, and I'm going to give her a shout out right now. Her name is Brooke Stevenson. So if you want a great vocal coach in LA, she was on The Voice, Brooke Stevenson. She's amazing. I'm going to give her a shout out right now. Check her out. She's worth the investment to take the vocal lessons in music and your voice. But she said, if you believe, she peeled away a false belief that I had the very first lesson I ever had. And I'll never forget, Tom was listening in on my lesson and he was sitting nearby and he saw my face when she said, well, did you ever have a belief as a child that you couldn't sing? Did any adult ever tell you that at 10 or 12 or whatever it was? And I said, yeah, that happened to me in a public situation when I was singing. And she said, and did this ever happen? And I said, yeah, that did happen to me. And she said, you know, Karen, if you believe that you cannot, she said, you will undermine yourself if you believe it. And it goes back to Proverbs, you know, 23:7, as a person thinks in their heart, so are they. If we absolutely have a false belief of something, we won't put the time into a try. We don't make the time to invest. We don't invest in the learning. And I had truly believed that God had told me, go this way. And this is something you love. I want you to invest this vocal lesson in your life. And so I did. And I mean, when she got at the core of the lie, I literally broke into tears and I cried all day long, and because I was finally released to sing. And even if I wasn't going to be the next, you know, Kelly Clarkson or something, it didn't matter. I was released to sing. I was released to use my gift. I was released to invest in learning. And it took all the breaks off. And you know what, Dr. Noemi, that's what you're doing. You're helping women peel away the lies, getting to the truth. The truth is going to outshine that lie. It's going to break down those lies, and it's going to help build them up in Christ and who they really are called to be. And each one of us have our own iris. We have our own fingerprint. There's plenty of room in God's kingdom and in this world for women to be very unique, even if we're similar, and to shine in the place that God's called us to be. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yes. Beautiful example. And what a beautiful analogy. It is liberating when you disconnect from the lie.
Absolutely.
It's that we connect to something, a false identity that is not our true self. But when you disconnect from that disbelief that has kept you in bondage, you release the chains and God is able to work through you.
Amen.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
There's a whole lot of truth there, what you just shared right there. And I hope the women, I want you to replay this part, especially because there's a whole lot of truth. I'm talking truth that will set you free with what Dr. Noemi was just saying. So check us out every week at Podcast to the Altar. We release a new video every single, and at times it's going to be a video. Sometimes it will just be an audio. So we'll be going back and forth between the two. But that's going to be released every Tuesday at 6 a.m. on Podbean, on Spotify, and also on Apple Podcasts and on IBTV Faith Network, my favorite network channel. So, and we hope to have you and Bishop on. Hopefully we have you guys on soon and can invite Tom, and we'll do a couples interview and learn more about your ministry. Amen.
We would love that. Yes, absolutely. Amen. Thank you for having me.
And if you're in the Fort Worth area, This is the church to check out, Encounter Church in the Fort Worth area. They have a wonderful praise and worship team, wonderful anointed music and anointed teachings, and you're going to be blessed. Amen. Thank you for tuning in today. Thank you, Dr. Naomi.